Julius Caesar, Shakespeare's shortest play, was first performed in 1599 at the Globe Theatre in Britain. Julius Caesar takes place in ancient Rome in 44 BC, when Rome was the center of an empire stretching from Britain to North Africa and from Persia to Spain. Yet even as the empire grew stronger, so did the force of the dangers threatening its existence. Rome suffered from the constant fighting between ambitious military leaders and the far weaker senators to whom they supposedly owed allegiance. A succession of men aspired to become the absolute ruler of Rome, but only Julius Caesar seemed likely to achieve this status. Those citizens who favored more democratic rule feared that Caesar's new power would lead to the enslavement of Roman citizens by one of their own. Therefore, a group of conspirators came together and assassinated Caesar. The assassination, however, failed to put an end to the power struggles dividing the empire, and civil war erupted shortly thereafter. The plot of Shakespeare's play includes the events leading to the assassination of Caesar, as well as much of the subsequent war, in which the deaths of the leading conspirators constituted a sort of revenge for the assassination. This royalty-free play is part of a fantastic collection of plays for kids and teens on Drama Notebook. We hope you enjoy Julius Caesar.
Act 1, Scene 1, A Public Street in Rome.
Hence, home, you idle creatures, get you home. Why dost thou wander about in the street?
To see Caesar.
To rejoice in his triumph.
Wherefore rejoice? What conquest bring he home? You blocks, you stones, you worse than senseless things.
Be gone!
At this moment, Rome is in a time of great political transition. The army of Julius Caesar has just defeated the army of the former ruler Pompey, and Caesar will soon take the crown, which divides the people of Rome in half. One half for and one half against the man who would be king. Already a rebellion has begun brewing.
Act 1, Scene 2, A Public Street in Rome. We hear a flourish of trumpet sound. Enter Caesar, Antonio, Calpurnia, Portia, Decius, Brutus, Cassius, Casca, and Cinna, the poet. Suddenly, the soothsayers return.
Ho, who calls? Who is it that in the press that calls on me? I hear a tongue shriller than all the music. Cry, Caesar, speak. Caesar is turned to you. What?
The Ides of March.
Some soothsayers bid you beware the Ides of March, Caesar.
Fellows, look upon Caesar.
What sayest thou to me now? Speak once again.
Beware the Ides of March.
Ha! They are dreamers. Let us leave them.
Will you go see the order of the course, Brutus?
Not I, Cassius. I'll leave you.
Tell me, good Brutus, can you see your face?
No, Cassius, for the eye sees not itself, but by reflection.
And it is very much lamented, Brutus, that you have no such mirrors as will turn your hidden worthiness into your eye, that you might see your shadow. Many of the best respect in Rome, except immortal Caesar, have wished that noble Brutus had his eyes.
Into what dangers would you lead me, Cassius? What means this shouting? I do fear the people choose Caesar for their king.
Aye, do you fear it? Then must I think you would not have it so, Brutus.
I would not, Cassius, yet I love him well. But wherefore do you hold me here so long? What is it that you would impart to me?
I was as born as free as Caesar. So are you. We both have fed as well, and we both endure the winter's cold as well as he. And this man is now become a god, and Cassius a wretched creature, and must bend his body if Caesar carelessly but nodded him?
Another general shout, Cassius. I do believe that these applauses are for some new honors that are heaped upon Caesar.
Why, man, doeth he bestride the narrow world like a Clausius, and we petty men walk under his huge legs and peep about to find ourselves dishonorable graves? Men at some times are masters of their fate. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves, that we are underlings, Brutus and Caesar. What should be in that Caesar? Why should that name be sounded more than yours? Write them together. Yours is as fair as name. Sound them together. It doeth become the mouth as well. Weigh them. It is as heavy. Upon what meat doeth Caesar feed? That he is grown so great. Age, thou art shamed. Rome, thou hast lost the breed of noble bloods.
Cassius, what you have said, I will consider. Brutus had rather be a villager than to repute himself a son of Rome under these hard conditions as this time is like to lay upon us.
I am glad that my weak words have struck, but thus much show of the fire from Brutus?
The games are done, and Caesar is returning.
As they pass by, pluck Cosca by the sleeve, and he will, after his sour fashion, tell you what has proceeded worthy note today.
Re-enter Caesar and his train.
I will do so, Cassius.
Antonius.
Caesar.
Yon Cassius has a lean and hungry look. He thinks too much. Such men are dangerous.
Fear him not, Caesar. He's not dangerous. He is made a noble Roman, and well given.
I fear him not. Yet if my name were liable to fear, I do not know the man I should avoid. So soon as that, spare Cassius. He reads too much. He is a great observer, and he looks quite through the deeds of men. He loves no plays, as thou dost, Anthony. He hears no music. I rather tell thee what is to be feared than what I fear, for always I am Caesar.
Exit Caesar and all his train, except for Cosca, whom Brutus and Cassius have pulled aside.
You pulled me by the cloak. Would you speak with me?
Aye, Cosca. Tell us what hath chanced today, that Caesar looks so sad.
Why, there was a crown offered him, and being offered him, he put it by with the back of his hand, thus, and then the people fell a-shouting.
What was the second noise for, Cosca?
Why, for that too, Brutus.
They shouted thrice. What was the last cry for?
Why, for that too, Cassius.
Was the crown offered him thrice?
Aye, marry wast, and he put it by thrice, every time gentler than other, and every putting by mine honest neighbors shouted, Brutus.
Who offered him the crown, Cosca?
Anthony.
Tell us the manner of it, gentle Cosca.
It was mere foolery, Brutus. I saw Mark Antony offer him a crown, and as I told you, Caesar put it by once, then he put it by again, and then he put it the third time by. But for all that, to my thinking, he would fain have had it, and still as he refused it, the rabblement hooted and clapped their chapped hands and uttered such a deal of stinking breath because Caesar refused the crown. For mine own part, I durst not laugh, for fear of opening my lips and receiving the bad air. Fare you well.
Will you dine with me tonight, Cosca?
Aye, Cassius, if I be alive and your mind hold and your dinner worth the eating.
Good. I will expect you, Cosca.
Do so. Farewell, both.
Cosca exits.
Cassius, for this time I will leave you. Tomorrow, if you please to speak with me, I will wait for you.
I will do so. Till then, think of the world, Brutus.
Exit Brutus.
Well, Brutus, thou art noble yet, I see. But Caesar's ambition shall be glanced at, for we will shake him, our worst days may endure.
Scene 3. Outside of Cassius's house, the soothsayers enter. They halt, facing forebodingly, looking at the sky. All at once, as they look to the heavens, the thunder and lightning begins. Heavy rain and tempestuous winds. They leave quietly, yet maintaining their creepy, natural air.
Beware the Ides of Mars.
Casca enters with an overcoat on.
The next night, the heavens are on fire. The sky is alight with a monstrous storm, and horribly frightening apparitions plague the streets. Something is rotten in the state of Rome, and the 15th of March is one day away. Meanwhile, a conspiracy against Caesar is reaching its height.
Casca!
What night is this?
A very pleasing night, to be honest, man.
Are not you moved when all the sway of earth shakes like a thing unfirm? Against the capital I met a lion, who glared upon me and went surly by, without annoying me, and there were drawn upon a heap 100 ghastly women, transformed with their fear, who swore they saw men all in fire walk up and down the street, whoever knew the heavens menace so. I believe they are portentous things unto the climate that they point upon.
Now could I, Casca, name thee a man was like this dreadful night, that thunders, lightens, open graves, and roars as doeth a lion in the capital. A man no mightier than myself or me in personal action, yet prodigious grown and fearful as these strange eruptions are.
'Tis Caesar that you mean, is it not, Cassius?
Let it be who it is.
Indeed, they say the senators tomorrow mean to establish Caesar as a king, and he shall wear his crown.
I know where I will wear this dagger then. Cassius, from bondage will deliver Cassius. That part of tyranny that I do bear, I can shake off in pleasure.
So can I.
And why should Caesar be a tyrant then?
Hold my hand, be factitious for redress of all these griefs, and I will set this foot of mine as far as who goes farthest.
There's a bargain made. Now you know, Casca, I have moved already some certain of the most noblest wrought-minded Romans to undergo with me an enterprise of honorable, dangerous consequence. Most bloody, fiery, and most terrible.
Enter Sienna running.
Stand close a while, for here comes one in haste.
'Tis Sienna, he is a friend. Sienna, where you haste so?
To find out you.
Am I not stayed for?
Yes, you are. Oh, Cassius, if you could but win the noble Brutus to our part.
Be you content, good Sienna. Take this paper and throw it in at Brutus's window where he may find it.
Yeah, I will hide, and so bestow this paper as you bade me.
Come, Casca, you and I will yet err today. See Brutus at his house. Three parts of him is all ours already, and the man entire upon the next encounter yields him ours.